Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Telling you, I think we're at the point where you could actually have a guy in the Oval Office wearing a hooded sweatshirt and it wouldn't matter.
It's funny, he gave a little insight on, because you know he did Rogan right before the
everybody did Rogan but Kamala,
the election, and he said how important it is to talk to that audience, and they weren't even supposed to do it, and he told the campaign I know I have to be in a certain place later on that night. Mm-hmm. Fly me out there. I'm doing that show.
Yeah, yeah. I'm convinced right now we could get Fetterman on quicker than we can get somebody that's a Republican. If I wanted to have a politician on right now, could I get Marco Rubio or Fetterman?
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think from an easy, yeah. easier standpoint to book, I think Fetterman would probably be available.
Yep.
Fetterman probably would come on the show.
I'd love to chat with Fetterman about all sorts of stuff, not just politics, by the way.
Yeah.
Just have a conversation. Just bring him in for an hour and... You know, both of us sitting here with our bald heads and our sweatshirts.
He's
that's what the audience really cares about. They don't care what we're saying. It's what we've learned in the media. What we've learned in the last 4 years. It's amazing. It's a very interesting time for politics. I'm ecstatic to be doing this because it's not the way, I keep saying it, it's just not the way it used to be. And I think we saw that with the way certain people handled campaigns.
Right.
It's just, times are changing, man.
The thing you said that stuck out to me the most in the big take, by the way, if you haven't, go back to the, on the Odyssey Rewind and you can hit it, 6:15 this morning. Was that Kamala Harris running a campaign from 2004?
Yes.
And Donald Trump running a campaign in 2024.
Yep.
I think definitely yep. Sums up what just went on for the last 6 months.
I mean, he's 18, 19 years older than she is.
Yep.
He's supposedly a part of the Republican Party. He's always deemed to be the older party. I don't know. You look at the last 6 months of a campaign, and Donald Trump was very modernized, and the Democrats were stuck in 20 years ago. So, but that's that. Let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:09. The great Dawn Stensland.
Yeah, we're looking at, in the news this morning, Kale & Company News Live. We are sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union. 34 degrees as the sun is up on a chilly day. That we're not used to this chilly weather. I shouldn't be complaining. It's seasonable weather. We're mid-November, for crying out loud, on this November 13th Wednesday. But I'll tell you, when the warm up, we will get another warm up, and that's in the forecast this morning. We're talking about all these different fires and we have some firefighters, police officers injured. We have that large fire forcing the evacuation of a Center City apartment complex. Firefighters called to that scene. Smoke just pouring out of the Adelphia House apartments on Chestnut Street. We know that at least one resident had to be rushed to the hospital suffering with smoke inhalation, but we're told that that resident is in serious but stable condition this morning. Red Cross assisting that fire. The crews are still there checking for any structural damage and investigating the cause of that one. And then the massive fire that destroyed an apartment building, that's in Pine Hill, New Jersey. That one started last night, and the flames, you know, by the time firefighters were called in, flames streaming from that building. These are the mansion apartments, 200 block of West Branch Avenue, Camden County. Dozens displaced by that one. And sadly, five police officers in all, as well as a firefighter, were rushed to the hospital to be treated for smoke inhalation. In that kind of a situation, because you had an apartment building, those officers and the firefighter, brave individuals who were trying to rescue people. You could hear, by all accounts, residents screaming for help, trapped on upper floors. And so it seems from all the eyewitness accounts that this was an heroic effort by these police officers who were first on the scene, as well as a firefighter who were saving, because no residents were injured. None.
It's unbelievable.
It's a real the story of heroism.
Yes, yes, it really is, to rush into there. I mean, and oh, by the way, too, you know, I actually had this conversation with a buddy of mine that he was a firefighter for about 13 years straight out of high school until he was about 31 or 32. And we were talking about a month ago, and he said, man, and he's not super political, but he knows what police officers are dealing with now. He said, you know, being a firefighter, in theory, with what you encounter on a more frequent basis, is far more dangerous. But he said he would rather do that than be a police officer in this day and age with what the cops have to deal with, especially post defund the police. So yeah. Think about that. People would rather run into a building on fire than be a cop.
Isn't that, that's a sad commentary, isn't it?
Isn't it really? Yeah.
And I would say, you know, the issue, too, as far as that New Jersey fire, those five police officers, if you think about it, firefighters, when they come to the scene, they have the proper apparatus. But with those the police officers rushing in to help people, they don't have any of that. And so you're breathing in God knows what. And that's why in some of these jobs, you see the health impact. I had an uncle, you know, come from a family of firefighters. He died of lung cancer, never smoked a day in his life, but he's a firefighter.
Is that right?
So it's, you know, it's important that they all have the, but I believe that's with these officers. They just rushed in.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that they're okay. And we'll continue to update you on that one. And then we have as well, we have five people injured after this hazmat incident. That was in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. This is in the suburbs, North Wales. Rescue crews, those first responders, called into the unit block of Amy Court there in North Wales, PA, for reports of people becoming violently ill. So the first responders, the fire officials, say that there was then a strong chemical odor detected. They were able to identify it as ammonia. And this was some kind of a cleaning solution that was intended to, you know, for power washing, and this was in a huge tank, and this had spilled. Ugh. So that's a big cleanup. Four residents, a firefighter involved in that one, are you know, they suffered injuries, but they're expected. These are not life-threatening injuries. That's what they've said.
Yeah, thank God.
Again, here's a firefighter injury,
yeah,
helping to rescue people.
Yep.
So the theme you see is one of heroism.
Yeah, not too far from me either in North Wales.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So it may, I don't know if how much traffic, if it should be cleaned up by the time you head home, lunchtime, you know.
All right.
We've been talking a lot, and we'll talk more about, of course, what's going on in D.C. with Donald J. Trump leaving Mar-a-Lago, leaving Florida, heading to D.C. He's expected to meet with Republicans prior to his planned meeting with President Joe Biden as they begin this transition. We've talked a lot this morning about the transition's picks and the cabinet picks so far. But I'll take you to two stories. First of all, Pennsylvania Republican Senator-elect Dave McCormick was, after all, invited to the U.S. Senate Freshman Orientation Day. And this was by Chuck Schumer. So the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, obviously.
Yep.
So they made a deal because he said, okay, as long as Democrat Representative Ruben Gallego, who won Arizona over Kerry Lake,
yep,
as long as he can go, then Dave can go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kindergarten.
Yeah, it is, right? All right, here's your name tag. Here's your packet. Here's your folder. We'll do lunch. We're going to have two sessions before lunch and two sessions after lunch. God, I used to hate orientation days. They were painful in any walk of life, whether it's, you know, onboarding at a new job or for school. Just awful. But so Casey still has not officially conceded, correct?
Nope.
Man, by the way, so when we talk about these 100,000 votes or whatever the number is out there that they want to count with all the people that they have counting, I mean, does it really take, I don't know, I've never actually counted anything that was 100,000 deep, but should it take 12 hours to do? Should it take multiple days to do?
Well,
I mean, seriously.
Part of it is, so McCormick is well over, from the latest that I've seen, well over 40,000 ahead.
His number keeps going back
and
up.
And it keeps going up. But part of the provisionals, first of all, part of the delay was that there were deadlines to say if you had a, they were literally reaching out to people to question their signature or something wasn't quite right, or they were waiting, you know, to maybe shore up those provisional ballots.
Yeah.
And so the funny piece of it was people were getting messages that just call us back. You can leave us a voicemail. Let us know if this is you. And so it's labor intensive, but they said they're going to count everyone. Okay.
Okay. I mean, his lead was 31,000. Now it's 40,000. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have that going on, but McCormick, Pennsylvania's McCormick, will be there. And heads up, and this is kudos to Republican State Treasurer Stacey Garrity, reelected. And I know that she didn't get as many votes as Trump. He holds his own record. But our state treasurer, Stacey Garrity, now she has garnered the largest vote total ever recorded by any candidate for statewide office in Pennsylvania, which beats the record of our governor, Josh Shapiro.
Wow.
So congratulations.
Yes. Well deserved.
So Garrity, she's an interesting person. She'll never talk about whether she aspires to future office. And we want to wish her condolences. The day after the election, she lost her dad. Her dad passed away.
Aww.
And so that's why we've been trying to have her on. But, you know, obviously our hearts are with her. But she is described as Angel of the Desert, a nickname she got while serving in Iraq in the U.S. Army Reserve in 2004.
Okay.
And so a feisty redhead who's making a big name in Pennsylvania politics.
Nothing wrong with a feisty redhead. You need one of those from time to time.
See, normally Greg would play Springsteen's Redheaded Woman song, but, you know.
Speaking of feisty redheads, anybody checked on Kathy Griffin lately? I know we played her on the cut sheet yesterday, but, you know, 20 hours has gone by.
But for Trump, I'm trying to look up it. Trump holds the record as far as on a national level. I believe he holds the record in Pennsylvania for an election as far as receiving the most Pennsylvania votes in any national election.
Okay.
Top of the ticket. So I know you guys like those numbers. So I'll get those numbers and send them to you. We are sponsored this morning in Kale & Company News Live, as I said, by American Heritage Credit Union. Ready to buy a home with American Heritage Credit Union's Home Connection. You get cash rewards, lower mortgage rates, and discounts. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/HomeConnection. Insured by NCUA. Not a member. Join today. NMLS 433838. As far as our forecasts, a nippy forecast for today as well as tomorrow. So a high of 53 degrees today. The sun will come out. Tomorrow, not so much, and we could get rain tomorrow. So kind of these blustery days with a lot of wind. But then we start that warm up in the upper 50s for your Friday with bright sunshine and then a sunny weekend, 62, 63-ish. So we are warming up again. Here we are, mid-November with 60s for the weekend and bright sunshine. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet in just about 25 minutes, which will include a update with that FEMA worker that was accused of telling staff to skip the hurricane-ravaged areas that had Trump signs in the front yard. Well, it's not just an isolated incident. We'll give you those details, and you'll hear from the lady who got fired. That's coming up at around 7:40. 45. But before we get there, a couple of orders of business to hit on. We have an update to the Michael Strahan national anthem story. If you were not with us yesterday, it was on Sunday. So Michael Strahan, former Giant defensive end during the McNabb days, he's got dual roles. He's on ABC's Good Morning America, but he's also on Fox NFL Sunday, their pregame show, with four or five other panelists before, you know, the 1 p.m. games kick off here on Channel 29 locally. So they were out, I think it was on the West Coast, and there was a beautiful rendition leading into the 1 o'clock games of the national anthem, obviously the day before Veterans Day. And Strahan came under fire for not putting his hand over his heart for the national anthem. We played that video for you yesterday, and now we have a follow-up. I'll give you the follow-up in a moment, but Phil, I believe you told me you do have the original Strahan video with the national anthem. So if you could, let's play this first again, just a refresher. All right, so there's Gronk, Jimmy Johnson, and Strahan. His arms are crossed right around, you know, his waist. So I said yesterday that I didn't know the quote-unquote protocol for this. I have seen people, you always take your hat off, you always stand as long as you're physically able to. And then, you know, most people put their hand over their chest. I usually put my hand over my chest. I know there's been times in the past at a football game where I keep my hands kind of wrapped behind my back, or I have them across like Strahan, but I think for the most part you put it across your chest. It was interesting because I said yesterday, I'll defer to the vets on this one, and we did have some vets in the YouTube chat that said no issue with what Strahan is doing there. Some people have made this to be an issue. If you want to make it an issue, I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think there are bigger fish to fry, so to speak. But I actually have a bigger issue with the follow-up of what transpired when a Daily Mail reporter apparently tracked down Michael Strahan to get comment on this, because as we know, he did not release a public statement on television or through social media. I believe Fox had said they're not going to comment. There will be no disciplinary action. So the Daily Mail took it to a different level. And we've seen this before, right? It's kind of the TMZ thing. You try to get a quick comment. And this was apparently outside of Strahan's residence. Phil, if we could, let's listen and watch this.
Don't come to my house.
All right, so there you go. Now it's in slow motion again. Don't come to my house. He gives the finger and then the stiff arm with the hand. It sounds like, it looks like, from if you're watching on YouTube, I know it's very brief, that he, you know, kind of knocks the phone out of the guy's hand. It's not Jason Kelce lashing out and slamming somebody's cell phone like he did 2 weeks ago in Happy Valley at the Penn State game on a Saturday for the Ohio State game. But again, this is the same. I try to be consistent with my analysis. Jason Kelce, you can't break somebody's cell phone. Okay, I get it. They called your brother the F word. The same thing with Joel Embiid. You know, Marcus Hayes writing what he did, out of line, out of bounds. I get it. But physically, according to allegations, physically putting your hands, that's breaking the law. You can't do it. So to me, the same thing applies with Strahan. I don't like media showing up at people's house, whether they're broadcasters, sports people, or politicians. Like, I don't like the fact that people would go to Joe Biden's house or Donald Trump's house or anything like that, or Brett Kavanaugh, any of these types of stuff. To me, you can't destroy somebody's property. And I know it was kind of like a half-hearted shove. Maybe the phone didn't even break. But you don't have the right to physically touch other people's belongings or their body. So to me, that's the bigger issue than Strahan not putting his hand over his heart. Dawn, I know you were a little bit more of the belief, I believe, yesterday of he should have put his hand over his heart. What do you make of the follow-up here?
To be really honest, in the scheme of life and everything,
it feels like it's overblown, right?
Yeah, I mean, people are talking. Yeah, I mean, we have crime and we have budget issues and more numbers coming out and inflation. You know what I mean? On the scheme of things, I think maybe we love to talk about these things because it's a little bit of an escape and, that sort of thing. But I don't think he meant any disrespect.
I
don't think he's a disrespectful person. As far as a phone, did you show video of it?
Yes. Phil, do you want to?
Have a delay on my thing, so I'm going to look at Greg's. But, my whole thing about this is if somebody, you know, whether it's Jason Kelce or you or me or Michael Strahan, if somebody shoves something in my face, because you technically, you know, there is personal space. If somebody shoves something, I don't know, is that mace? What are they doing? If they're shoving something in my face, get out of my face.
I mean, I could see.
I don't know what that is. Like, you don't have a right just because you're a news reporter to shove something in somebody's face. And by the way, if you did that to somebody like Trump, Secret Service would probably smack your hand because you're not allowed to do that. So in this day and age of like crazy people, like I had in our old building, I had these two women chase me into the building running after me.
Are you serious?
Yes, they were waiting for me and they ran. So in this crazy, crazy day right now, Michael Strahan is thinking, who is this crazy person? And they're shoving some. Don't shove something in my face.
See,
have a right to do that.
I can understand it if they're impeding your progress to go into your house, right? Like if they're blocking you off. But if they're walking along side by side with you or just kind of standing there where you could just, you know, you could just walk around them, or excuse me. Now, if they keep blocking you off for comment, then I understand why you resort to what you did. It's like the Oprah video from yesterday. Like, I don't like what that guy did to Oprah, but he wasn't impeding her progress to get back to her beautiful Range Rover. It's not like he didn't allow her to get into her car. Now, if somebody tries to, you know, stop your progress to get to from point A to point B, I get it. But, you know, the knocking of the phone, like, you know, the guy's just doing his job, right? So this is kind of where, even though I don't like it, I want to defend the Daily Mail. Like, he was sent out there, I'm assuming,
by one of his superiors. He's being aggressive. Nick, your phone can zoom in. You don't have to be right up in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a news reporter, you know that. And so, you know, I hope I can't believe his phone was broken.
So you don't like the whole TMZ style of ambush journalism?
No. I mean, you know... I don't paparazzi chasing people.
Yeah.
Like, no,
I don't. I deal with it every day in the garage leaving. There's paparazzi everywhere. But I just want to get in my truck and get on the Schuylkill. No comment.
Yeah.
They're like, can I touch your Piazza?
It's unbelievable.
Excuse me. Can I touch your Piazza?
This is the stuff we get riled up about in this world. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I don't know I don't know if they knew each other. I don't know what the deal is with him, but I would say, if you're a news reporter, and I've been in that situation, I've been shoved back. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be a professional. Yeah. You shove yourself in somebody's space, or you shove a device in their face. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, a big guy, so I don't think that he's a violent guy.
Yeah, it's the most pushback the Giants have had in 12 years. 855-839-1210. Cut Sheets coming up at 7:45. We'll get to one other story, because now the left is melting down. We've heard about sex strikes. How about filing for divorce because your husband voted for Donald Trump? An epic story. Plus, conspiracy elections. We've got the left coming out saying a big wig stole the election for Trump, and it's somebody we're all very, very familiar with. We'll give you those details on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today about the Honda Prologue. And I have driven this vehicle, and this thing is impressive. First of all, it's Honda's first all-electric SUV, with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free. And this thing's got a lot of get-up, too, a lot of jump. It's got three charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $279 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details. Shop online at PiazzaHonda.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Veteran Spotlight, World War II edition, The Greatest Generation, courtesy of Window Nation, coming up at 9:40 this morning. We just spoke with a couple of vets yesterday after the show, and we've got another great one lined up for you today and Friday, and then we will have a live one in studio tomorrow with somebody that we know very well within this building. So looking forward to all of that. And looking forward to continuing to see these stories that pop up where people are just losing their minds. Maureen Callahan for the Daily Mail wrote a great article about just how crazy the left has gotten with their lunatic sex bans and self-care snowflakery. Maureen Callahan says the Trump win meltdown proves that liberals are more delusional than ever. She writes the following, and some of these, we gave you these stories, and some of these are new to me, so this is fascinating. Supporters wept outside of Howard University as Kamala Harris conceded. Columbia, Harvard, and New York's exclusive Fieldston School offered students days off to grieve, hold space as they love to stay for what might have been. Georgetown University opened self-care suites where students and faculty could color, play with Legos, and have milk and cookies in recognition of these stressful times. Northwestern and Princeton did the same. These are our future leaders. The Guardian offered its employees free counseling. Ostensibly hardened reporters, traumatized by a peaceful, fair, and free election that needs safe spaces and psychotherapy. Vogue noted that New Yorkers dressed in head-to-toe black last Wednesday, expressing heartbreak and profound disappointment in those who voted against our best interest, she writes. The left never gets it. They didn't get it after Hillary lost in 2016, and they sure don't get it now. And apparently, this husband has to deal with the fallout. This story from The Mirror over in the UK, the headline, shocked husband speechless as wife files for divorce after he voted for Donald Trump. I mean, we have seen some crazy things in this lifetime, and I was actually a little surprised. I had some tweets when we were talking late last week about spouses and who the spouse votes for. Does your wife or husband tell you? And we got tweets from people that listen, that I know that have tweeted me before, that are consistent listeners of the show, that have said, I've been, and I'm paraphrasing, I've been married to my wife for 35 years. Never once have we told each other who we voted for. I didn't even know that that was really a thing. Like, I imagine husband and wife either on the same page or opposite, but they, you know, they share it. I figured my wife saying, I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, was her way of either not getting me bothered over the fact that she went Kamala or making my head get bigger that I swayed her to vote for Trump. But people can be married for three or four decades and never have the conversation with the person they sleep next to. I think that's fast. I didn't know that that was really a thing.
Well, maybe that's how they keep it going.
I get. You know? Who'd you vote for?
I mean, there's a curtain on that booth for a reason, right? You don't have to tell anybody.
You're right. In theory, you're correct. It's nobody's business but yours. You know, you go in there, you do your thing. You know, this comes off of the clip that we had with Joy Reid.
Here's the interesting thing. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you would have, you know, if there were Tinder or whatever the apps are these days, you know, where you swipe right and, you know, you can hook up. You would have never in a million years asked somebody what political party they're affiliated with.
Great point.
Or who they voted for.
How quickly do you think that comes up now?
That never came up. I can almost guarantee you that in the first, you know, half hour of a conversation, it is brought up about if they voted for Trump, if they didn't vote for Trump, if, you know, what side of the aisle are on. And also, I'm sure that you can go on these apps and put in your political party
affiliation. I'm sure there's a spot for it. There's no question. There has to be. I'm just wondering how quickly you go down the list of, okay, I'm into sports, I'm into cooking, I'm into camping, and I'm a conservative, or I'm a liberal, or I'm a moderate, or I'm apolitical, or whatever. It's fascinating. I mean, I got this story here. So they write, a man said that he can't believe his wife was ready to throw away, quote, our entire life after filing for divorce over the fact that he voted for Donald Trump. The distraught husband wrote on social media that he has been left without words, that the marriage could fall apart over politics, and that the divorce papers could be served so quickly. He writes, I voted for Trump. My wife sent me divorce papers. What do I do? I call a lawyer, sir. I didn't even know it was possible to be served divorce papers this quickly. I don't even know what to say. I'm shocked. I married somebody willing to throw away our entire life over politics. Last week we were happy. Today we're getting divorced. She won't have a discussion.
They weren't happy a week ago.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Come on.
Like, you had to have been doing something wrong, or you had to have known something was up. He goes, she won't have the discussion, says nothing will change her mind, insists she is going to report my parents because they live off of disability. But my dad does some cash work, auto repair on the side. So now I'm worried for my whole family. Either that or his wife just went completely off the deep end.
I think they don't like to, Carl, on our YouTube chat, to Carl's point. I just think some people are not communicating.
Well, right.
You know what I mean? So they're just keeping things going. They're not talking.
Sure.
If you don't know who your significant other, especially if you've been married for, if you've been married for more than a year, you should know them and know what they're thinking about with policy and that sort of thing. So the fact that somebody could be together for years and not know, then you don't know that person.
Yeah. And I totally think that you can have a conservative spouse and a liberal spouse and live a happy life and, you know, have your conversations about it and still get along. The only way I could see it not working is if it was it was really, really super hyper political people. Like, let's take the most extreme cases, right? Let's take somebody, whoever you think of as the most far right individual that you know publicly or personally or privately, and then taking the most insane left wing person, let's say somebody that we play from TikTok on the cut sheet, like like a marriage like that would never work.
Well, so I'm just trying to think this through, but in a serious way, usually when you get married, you go to some kind of some kind of counseling, mm-hmm. with your church, with your synagogue. You sit down and you talk, not about politics,
right,
but about your beliefs and your values.
Right. Yes.
So generally speaking, some of those values might come out and that might point you in the direction of what political party. To that point, I think of we've talked about Tulsi Gabbard and where she'll land in the Trump administration. So somebody like Tulsi, longtime Democrat. And so for some people, the only thing I could see is some people maybe feel that their party, that they were a longtime Democrat or raised in that party or union member,
mm-hmm.
maybe the party left them.
Yes.
And maybe that would raise some questions in a relationship.
Right.
But from what you're talking about, these are couples who mm-hmm. just don't communicate.
So you're telling me that you don't think that it is possible for a uber liberal to be married to an uber conservative?
Of course. Madeline.
Yeah,
James Carville.
I mean, that's the most famous example. But is there? Do you think?
See Alex Jones marrying Joy Reid? No. And again, I'm not talking specifically about their physical characteristics, but based on what comes out of their mouth, what they say politically, I don't know how that could ever work. I guess maybe Carville and whoever you're mentioning is the exception.
Alex, after all of his nonsense and all of his lawsuits,
he might need Joy's money.
He needs a sugar mama.
You guys can't agree with your spouse on every political issue.
Oh, hell no. No, so, absolutely not. Me and my wife don't even agree that today's Wednesday.
But I mean, so I guess I'm coming at this from a different angle. Like,
okay.
You can only be with somebody if they align with you politically. Like,
no.
I just think that's sad.
No. Don't talk
politics. I don't know.
To your extent, I agree. I think it is sad that you couldn't be with someone. I mean, that's why I mentioned the Joy Reid clip. Like, you're really not going to go to somebody's house on Thanksgiving or invite them over because Trump won? Like, really?
But, like, I'm really...
But I know families like that.
Oh, I know.
We all do. Split.
But
my dear friend Colleen... If you ever go to Naples or Fort Myers, so Colleen, she and Patrick have been together for decades since college. He runs Fishing Adventures in the Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Naples area. He is a MAGA Republican guy, always has been. She's a school teacher. She's a Democrat. They've been married forever, very happily married.
Oh, good for them.
But I will say, she's not political.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she's just...
She's not consuming it. She's not living and breathing
it. So she's like, oh, Patrick. Like, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
She's not a political... So that's why that works.
Okay.
If you had somebody who was, really into politics...
That can't stop talking about it or thinking about
it. And then their partner is...
Right.
The other, I think I could see where that would be a problem.
Like, right. I'm thinking about... Not even my parents, but, my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents were both lifelong blue-collar Democrats. You know what I mean? Would probably be considered Republicans today.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if my grandmother knew how my grandfather... I don't know. I don't... Because that stuff kind of wasn't discussed back then.
It's not as because it's not as polarizing. It's way more polarizing today, right?
There used to be, church and politics don't talk about religion and politics when you're in a space with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've kind of blown past that, haven't we?
I would think so, but I mean we played you that clip of that girl that was having a meltdown because her dad voted for Trump, right?
I just think politics consumes too much of our lives. And look, we're different animals because of what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. But I think as a society, it just consumes too much of our lives.
Do you think? I'll push back on it. I think beyond the fact that what we do for a living and the people that are listening to this show, a majority of Americans, I don't know what the percentage is, 75%, 90%, they don't consume this every day. So maybe that's why Agreed. You can have a Democrat and a Republican in a marriage, and they talk about it once every 2 to 4 years, right?
Sure.
Like during election time. Because you're tied up, you've got kids, you've got your job, you've got your extracurricular activities, you're not spending your time on social media. Did you see what Liz Warren said? Oh, I can't believe Elon Musk tweeted that. I mean, most people aren't living that lifestyle.
But like, Nick, you're really into sports. Do you and your wife sit around talking about sports?
No.
Exactly. So, no. So like, there are things that you are interested in that your spouse is not interested in that you,
yep.
that you guys just don't talk about.
Right. That's right.
But, that's a great example. Because I think if your significant other loves sports, then for me personally, I think that you at least owe that relationship mm-hmm. to know something about that, if that's their passion.
She invests in football. She'll watch the Eagles and she'll watch Alabama with me, but she don't give a damn about baseball, basketball, hockey, like the golf. When I'm watching a golf event on a Sunday in May, she wants to legitimately decapitate me and boil my head in hot water.
Wait. So you're saying, Dawn, that if you're really into something, your spouse should invest time into learning about it just because you're into it?
I totally agree with Dawn.
Or at least be curious about it.
I give my wife one show every year. One show that you like, I'll invest in. I invest obviously in the dance thing because it's my girls, but I try to understand where the dance mom's coming from. So I agree with Dawn. You got to show interest in something that your significant others, you know.
I get that, but like my wife hates sports. I'm not going to sit there and make her watch. I mean, she's been to baseball games with mm-hmm. me. She's been to football games with me, but she doesn't enjoy it. Why would I make her enjoy something?
Well, you don't have to make, you know, but does she?
I know
she,
why you would make her do it.
I love sticking people.
That's why you would do it.
And she's also not a political person. So like, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there's, we have other things in common. So like, why does it matter? I don't know. I just
so
feel
she doesn't
like
listen to you, Maestro the Cut Sheet?
She listens to nothing of the show. No? Not a single second of the show. She's
probably better off for it.
Which I appreciate.
Does your mom or
nope? My mom listens to no. My father is a huge. My father and stepmother are huge listeners. They're probably up right now listening. But
beautiful.
But
very proud of you.
But I don't know. Like I just don't feel like it's something that if you're not into, why do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like why force somebody? Like well, it's because it's my son or it's because it's my husband. Like I don't know, you have your own things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just don't know why you need to.
Yeah, I never force my wife to watch the Eagles or Alabama. It's just something she was always an Eagles fan, but she kind of adopted Alabama once she met me. So
Mangle Mush says, I'm not interested in cross stitching, but my wife is. Greg is right on this one.
can I ask what exactly cross stitching means?
Can you
it's
stop
not
reading?
Cross, it's not
Can you stop reading?
If that's what you're thinking.
Let me read the comments.
Oh, sorry.
You're very.
That
you're,
is his role, Dawn.
You're very sensitive when people, you know, make fun of us. So let me read it, and I'll filter out the good.
He was supporting you.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's coming to your rescue, Stalker. Would you rather have her be at your throat?
EKZ.
Get him, Dawn. EKZ. Be mean to him.
I read a supportive one.
EKZ says Greg's family would rather listen to Sean Ferry. That is a great A plus. You win YouTube. That is fantastic. Speaking of cut sheet.
Yeah, speaking of cut sheet, like I said, it was going to be in 11 minutes or 17 minutes. It's going to be in 17 minutes. We'll get to the cut sheet. That's coming up next. Kaling Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. From custom cabinets to those countertops, backsplashes to the all-important storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast in just a few days. Your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Go to kitchenmagic.com. Put this on the calendar and let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Marry a Cowboys fan? Hell no. Yeah, that's good advice.
I mean, I think that would be fun to have somebody on the opposite team to, you know.
Can you imagine that? Now, could you imagine if you were a conservative Eagle fan marrying a liberal Cowboy fan?
Yeah.
Now, that would be very interesting twice a year, for sure. 855-839-1210, but let's get to it. Better late than never. We still have about, we got 30, 35 minutes to play with. Time for a Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month. Use all, I'm going to say this, guys, applicable. Right? Use all applicable rebates.
Ding.
It's not applicable.
I prefer applicable.
Okay. We're going to do this again, are we?
Yes.
It's a Groundhog's Day.
Yep.
See store for details. Relationships really do matter. Sorry, tongue-tied there. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70 at Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Cue up Cut 8, Phil. We talked earlier about the new border czar, Tom Homan. The Daily Caller did a side-by-side of the old border czar versus the new border czar. By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to get over there and watch some of these videos. We always have the videos that accompany the cuts, so you can see it. You can play along at home.
Play along at home.
Go, Phil. She's dancing.
I got a message to the millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden's released in our country in violation of federal law. You better start packing now.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
I hear a lot of people say, you know, the talk of a mass deportation is racist. It's threatening to immigrant community. It's not threatening to the immigrant community. It should be threatening to the illegal immigrant community.
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
It is not an emergency. We are not facing a crisis.
We have a pressing United States who has created a fiction about a crisis at the border, and he has held up the United States government and its workers around his vanity project called a wall.
To the criminal cartels in Mexico. You smuggled enough fentanyl across this country to kill 148,000 young Americans. You have killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. And that's when President Trump gets back in office. He's going to designate you a terrorist organization, and he's going to wipe you off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You're done.
Get out.
The idea that he is trying to say that we have people that are trying to invade our country to commit mass crime is a crisis of his own making.
I specialize in transnational criminal organizations.
Yeah.
That wall ain't going to stop them.
No.
No.
A 600% increase in the sex trafficking on women and children. Border Patrol has arrested more terrorists coming across the border in 1 month than Trump had in 4 years. This is the biggest national security vulnerability this country's ever had. Donald Trump will be the president. I'll be in the middle of running the biggest deportation operation this country's ever seen.
I am not for a wall. We don't need to build it. This is a crisis of his own making.
This is fun.
Because the United States has a vanity project that he doesn't want to give up. It's the president's vanity project. This issue
is about a vanity project for this president.
Right. The president's vanity project?
Let me be very clear. I'm not going to vote for a wall under any circumstances. It will not end with a wall. It will not end with a wall.
It will not end with a wall?
No.
On that note, boy, I tell you what, the clown show side circus administration is coming to a close. It looks like the grown-ups are going to be returning to power and getting back in charge. Boy, what a stark contrast. Hard to believe that that's a controversial opinion to have. Well, Nick, they're going to separate the parents from the children. Did you hear the numbers? 148,000 people have been killed from fentanyl. So that eclipses all of the entire death count of every terrorist organization combined on the planet. It's not talked about enough. The fentanyl crisis in this country is staggering, and it gets almost no run except in our format on our side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And I've got to worry about, well, we're going to separate parents. You're here illegally. I don't care. Too bad.
By the way, another good reason to listen on the app or listen on YouTube is because that doesn't get dumped. It only gets dumped on the radio because, you know, the FCC.
I got to get Tom Homan on the show. You know, that's a guy I'd like to talk to.
My God. We heaven forbid somebody hears the S word.
I know.
We might get fined.
Yeah. I actually think you need to go and have a meeting with the FCC.
I would love to.
Make your case as to why it's ridiculous we can't curse.
I agree.
I'm telling you, you think the ratings are good now. You get me fully uncensored with no restrictions on curse words.
I agree.
I might take out every station in this building.
We're a radio station for adults, okay?
I know.
Nobody under the age of 18 listens to this program. So stop with this.
Yes.
Stop.
And when I give my yearly speech on the Easter Bunny, don't tell me that, oh, I got kids in the car. Yeah. This is for adults. We'll get to the Easter Bunny again. He's coming up.
No, we're not. Just have good taste. All right, Kale. For God's sake. What's going to happen in New York? Mayor Adams spoke on the deportation situation. He better be careful.
They might investigate him again.
This is 10, Phil. Go.
The voters communicated loudly and clearly. We have a broken immigration system. It needs to be fixed. Yeah. That's the only conversation I want. Mm-hmm. It's broken. It needs to be fixed. And New York City was devastated by that broken system. 220,000 migrants and asylum seekers have made their way here. No financial assistance from the administration. I think it was about 200 and something million dollars with billions of dollars we had to pay for. I don't want to see that happen again. I don't want what's taking place in Chicago, in Denver, Los Angeles, Houston. I don't want to see it take place again. Let's fix our immigration system. Anything other than that, I'm not interested in that conversation. We have a broken system. I talked about this in 2022. Just as I talked about violence in 2021, and voters made this the top of their list, the top of their list. When I was talking about it, everyone was being dismissive of me, and voters said this.
Shame on SNL for not bringing Tracy Morgan back to do a parody bit on Eric Adams, because I swear if you just close your eyes, Eric Adams sounds identical to Tracy Morgan, who's absolutely hysterical. Here's an idea that I've had. So with all of this nonsense coming to an end and Eric Adams realizing just how bad it is now, so all of this money was allocated for illegal immigrants, right? These prepaid debit cards, $500 a night hotels. I'm imagining with some of these programs coming to an end, that there's still money that was set aside and allocated for this. So why don't we take those leftover funds, assuming that they are still available, and give them to veterans across the country in cities where, and I know there's one veteran, speaking of veterans because it's Veterans Week, and you know we had Veterans Day on Monday, and we're chatting with some of these great Americans of the last great generation. That one individual in New York who was a homeless veteran, who was forced out of wherever he was living, I don't know if it was a shelter or what they would call it, for an illegal immigrant. I mean, that's the way we treat our veterans in this country, that they go back on the street for somebody here that hasn't gone about the process in the proper way.
Yep.
Well, that's despicable.
I think that's one issue that Americans in polling are united on.
Yeah.
That's why I was surprised with the Pete Hegseth appointment that we talked about earlier this morning to Trump's cabinet. I would have thought he would have been well suited because he's talked a lot about veterans affairs issues. So I'm curious as to who will head that cabinet position. But I think in this one, I think most Americans agree that it is ridiculous that in New York, they had that 1-year program that we've talked about, which they did not renew the contract, but they were, so a family of four was receiving $350 per week in the form of that so-called gift card, $350 per week for non-citizens, for illegals. And that infuriated people across the nation, programs like that, because we don't have those kinds of programs for veterans, for those who've served in our military. As far as New York Mayor Adams, you know, he is still, he has a trial date on his corruption trial.
That's what I'm saying. He better be careful.
You know what I mean? So he's going to trial.
You think he's trying to curry favor? I was just going to say that he's trying to curry favor with the...
You think he'll be in the Trump administration?
No, but I think he'll seek maybe a pardon or something of that nature.
By the way, I just got an email while we were, while you two were yapping it up, about the Politics and Pines for tonight. Apparently, we are releasing 30 more tickets. So, if you have not done so yet, and you can make it tonight, it's tonight. We have released 30 more tickets. Politics and Pines. Go to 1210WPHT.com right now. There's an icon you can click on. You can get them. But if you're not doing the Media Theater tonight, 7:30, we just released 30 new tickets. So if you haven't bought them yet, do it now.
Yeah, you can meet your new nighttime host.
1210WPHT.com. Rich Zeoli, Jimmy Fallon.
It burns his old droopy nuts.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a good time. Politics and Pints. 30 more tickets. Act that quickly.
So much fun.
Do it now. So apparently, remember when Elon Musk hosted SNL? Apparently, one of the cast members, Chloe Fineman,
doesn't ring a bell.
She is she's a new cast member. Apparently, she pitched him a sketch that he didn't like, and it made her cry. And I have to think, this is disturbing to me in many ways because her job as a comedy writer. I mean, she's performer too, but her job as a comedy writer is like you sit around in a room,
float out ideas,
and they may be terrible,
right?
But you try,
right? And then you tell them to Elon, and Elon probably said,
"Go yourself."
Her recounting of this story is hysterical. Go, Phil.
I just saw some news article about Elon Musk being like butthurt about SNL and his impression. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come out and say at long last that I'm the cast member that he made cry. And he's the host that made someone cry. You made Chloe Fineman, burst into tears because I stayed up all night writing the sketch. I was so excited. I came in. I asked if you had any questions, and you stared at me like you were firing me from Tesla and were like, it's not funny. Then you started pawing through my script, like flipping each page, being like, I didn't laugh once, not one time.
Two things. One, she's incredibly soft, explains why SNL is unwatchable, and I have no idea who she is. But I could totally see Elon Musk doing that. He's a billionaire. He's probably an a-hole, and I have no problems. Like, I love the fact that he brought back X and free speech. I love the fact he's going to whittle away these jobs. But if that's true, am I surprised? No. A lot of these guys like Elon Musk, they're never told no.
It is. First of all, the fact that she's a comedy writer and goes on Twitter or whatever this was to say that she burst into tears because somebody didn't like her.
That's awful.
Her sketch.
Yeah, she probably had a mental health day after Trump winning last week.
God.
Now, awful. By the way, she deleted that, and Elon Musk responded.
Good.
Saying, frankly, it was only on Thursday. It was on the Thursday before the Saturday that any of the sketches generated laughs. He says, I was worried. I was like, dang, my SNL appearance is going to be so unfunny that it'll make a crackhead sober. But then, but then it worked out in the end. So he, you know, he did respond.
Howard, two things I want to say on this. Howard Stern in the 90s was asked to host SNL many times. And he said point blank, he goes, I will do it if I can bring my own writers in. I don't want your writers writing because I can't be in a sketch that's unfunny. It will hurt my brand.
Mm-hmm.
So they said no. So he never hosted SNL in his whole popularity in the 90s because he was like, I can't take the risk of being in something unfunny.
Yes.
Because it'll hurt my brand.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, even though it's not, you know, he doesn't. Why would he want to be in something that's unfunny?
I agree. Why would you want to be on SNL, period, in 2024? It hasn't been funny in 20 years.
Also, if you have not watched the movie Saturday Night, it's streaming right now on Apple, I think. It is fabulous. It's about the first show of SNL.
This is in my wheelhouse.
1975. It is like it's the 90 minutes leading up to the first live show and all the disaster that is. You talk about a bunch of people in their 20s and 30s, a bunch of renegades who were just like the standards and practices came in and they were crossing out words they couldn't say on TV. Mm-hmm. The writers literally took the standards and practices thing, burned it, and threw it out the window.
Wow.
So, like, you're talking about, like, a group of renegades that came out and be like, I don't care what you say. We're going to go on and do this whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And what it evolved into with this woman crying because somebody didn't like her sketch.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Now, let me ask you this.
Tough business.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've float out ideas for the show, for the station all the time. Sometimes they're brilliant. Other times they don't even get responses, right? Like, that's what happens. If you're a content creator, you always think
I'll get back to you.
I'm not talking about anything specific, but I mean, it's just, you know, look, you're going to whiff. I mean, when you are in the content creation business, I mean, let's talk about Dawn for a second. Dawn, you do 30 hours of radio a week. I personally think all 30 hours are exhilarating. But, you know, when you judge yourself as a talent, you might sit there and say, man, you know what? That segment was not my best segment. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that interview, I didn't think it was going to go. I mean, when you're live and you're shooting 20, 30 hours a week, you know, you're going to have swings and misses. It happens.
Yeah. And so here's the problem. She's in for a great disappointment, especially when they fire her. Because she's, you know, seriously, because for me, when I do listen back to anything, I hate my, like, I hate
so,
my work.
So do I.
Oh,
so do I.
God, that was horrible. And that's, by the way, what makes you better, because we should all be our own worst critic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for those people, I imagine she thinks, she was raised that everybody got a trophy and they say, you're Chloe, you're so beautiful.
You're 100% right.
You're so fabulous.
Right. Yep, you're 100% right.
Yeah,
it's, you're right. Look, I'm, you know, I'm on the show and I'm the program director, theoretically. So like, nobody's going to air check me. So I air check myself and I'm just like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I have meetings. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, it's coming.
I'm going to need to have a meeting with myself. I have meetings with myself. So I'm with you. I'm with you on the whole thing of I hate listening back, but sometimes you have to and it makes you better.
Speaking of that SNL first episode in 75, do you happen to remember who the host?
George Carlin.
Okay.
And the musical guests were two. It was Billy Preston and Janice Ian, I think.
Wow.
I only know that because I literally just watched it yesterday. But it was a completely different show. I mean, the cast was barely in the first episode. It was a bunch of sketches. It was stand-up comedy acts.
Oh, yeah.
The hosts were really the main attraction. They had two musical guests.
Mm-hmm.
The Muppets were involved in it. Like, it was a completely different show.
I could talk SNL all day, man. All
Me
the
too.
Different eras and when it was good, when it was decent, when it was terrible.
I wanted to play this. I didn't know how interesting this would be, but I think it will be. So this is on the Patrick Bet David podcast yesterday. You know, Charlie Kirk, he went, he was part of the Trump transition, or not transition team, but he was part of that social media group that helped him. So he talked at length yesterday, and Chris Cuomo was in this too, which I think is interesting, about the blueprint for the Trump campaign 2024. We know a lot of this, but to hear it put this way, I think is super interesting about how they, this is really what we've been talking about. This is what your big take was about today. This is what we've been talking about how they kind of just pushed aside legacy media and went in this new direction.
Yep.
And the way he talks about this, I think is super interesting. Phil, if you want to roll it.
correctly. However, I disagree. There were still some late breakers and undecided people. I do think that pool was less than 2%, though. I think so. Donald Trump
2% is a lot, though.
And Donald Trump's campaign strategy, of which we helped execute on the ground in some of these states, was that, guys, don't spend your time knocking on doors about a suburban soccer mom who's weighing her options. Instead, because that takes 9 contacts to try to get her. 9 points of contact on average. Conversations, discussions, and they could be 30 minutes on it. Instead, turning point, go spend your time in very Republican areas where there are non-registered or what we call disengaged voters. People that like Trump, like his worldview. For example, the bro vote, right? And so this is where we spent our time, and we harvested, not ballot harvested, but we harvested in a very, very powerful way. At Arizona State University, for example, we registered thousands of young men to vote in fraternities. And that was way easier than us going to try to win over swing voters. And we did a little bit of that. But generally, the Trump campaign was brilliant because they threw the Republican consultant playbook out. The Republican consultant playbook was spend all your time on the middle, on those like middle 15% swing voters, and go all in. Mm-hmm. Trump campaign said, why don't we just make our base bigger? Why don't we just make the people who love us the most? And so what they looked at was demographics. Mm-hmm. And they realized if we can make the electorate 3% more masculine, and by the way, they were so smart to do this.
This is Susie
and James Blair and La Savita. And they were so smart because they said, wait a second, what is more important than race? Whether or not you're a man or a woman actually dictates your political affiliation far more of a correlation than your race. Mm. So they de-emphasized racial politics and they emphasized more of a masculine machismo approach. And boy, did it work. And not only did it work, you're running up against a woman. So it's easier to kind of make that argument. And so I don't mean to monopolize the time.
But this is really interesting. We'll keep going.
And so what the Trump campaign then did, the Republican consultant playbook that Karl Rove basically authored was everything is about high propensity. So there's two types of voters, high propensity and low propensity voters. A high propensity voter is typically college educated, lives in the suburbs. You know, they watch Chris, they watch CNN, they have an income over $100,000 a year, they have 2 kids and a picket fence, and they go to soccer games, and they don't commit crimes. You know, that type of demo, right? High propensity voters is where the Republican Party has always been focused. Okay, but Trump came in and he said, no, we're going to focus on low propensity voters. The welder, the electrician, the carpenter, the police officer, or the person that's just not registered to vote. Where I thought that Donald Trump was going to win, and I wasn't as confident as anybody else, okay, was when I started to see the voter registration surge across the country. In the summer before this last summer, new people that were registering to vote were registering at a clip 3-1 versus Democrat. In Pennsylvania, for the first time ever, we had every county in Pennsylvania, we were out registering Democrats for the first time ever. Now, mind you, what Josh Shapiro did as governor of Pennsylvania is he put in a thing called motor voter, which means you automatically get registered to vote. They thought that was going to help Democrats.
When you get your license.
When you get your driver's license. It helped Republicans because of lower. Think about who's not registered to vote. It's typically lower propensity voters and PBD. Here's the kicker. Where do these people get their information? Lower propensity voters get information on TikTok. Mm-hmm. They're not watching CNN. They're not sitting. You know why? These folks are darn tired by the time they get home. They're not turning on cable news. They're watching NFL football games. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are not going to be able to quote to you, Marbury. They're not.
Strategy.
By the way,
it's also this.
Yeah, it's also the phone. So what Donald Trump's campaign did is they hacked the 2024 election, not in a way that people would think, where they said, wait a second, everyone has a supercomputer in the right-hand pocket. Why are we worried about what CNN is saying or MSNBC is saying? Why don't we win the information war? And then finally, the kicker, they said, why don't we go on the most ambitious, over-the-top, low-propensity voter communication strategy on Theo Von, Joe Rogan, Nelk Boys, you know, Logan Paul, influencer strategies, right? And so what they said is there's this whole reservoir.
Freaking brilliant.
And the final kicker, my mandate at Turning Point was very simple. Charlie, turn Trump supporters
into Trump loyalists or something.
There you go. So to me, it is super smart. Trump circumvented the legacy media, the mainstream media. He went right around them, making this little pivot if you're watching on YouTube. And he reached where the masses go now. And you know, some of them are still up and coming. But super interesting there because you have Chris Cuomo. Then you have Charlie Kirk with Patrick Bet-David. Kind of interesting to see that dynamic playing out there in that clip. But what I think is fascinating is think about what Trump did throughout, and he mentions football there. Trump went to the Alabama-Georgia game,
yep.
Right? Trump was involved. There was J.D. Vance going to the Penn State-Ohio State game and engaging and activating the young men. And this is where Dawn talks about young men are tired of being told that masculinity is some bad thing. It's evil. It's toxic. And what are you seeing now? And I know it's social media and it's a small segment, but you're seeing all these frat pros, right? And they're doing the Trump dance, right? Like they found a way to modernize it, and like I didn't realize just how much time. So you're going to spend 9 different attempts to contact one suburban mom who's undecided. You're not making the most of your available time. If you can reach the masses quicker, yeah. As opposed to spending 45 minutes with one individual, that might not pan out. I mean, it's what's the old adage? Don't work harder, work smarter.
Mm-hmm.
They worked smarter.
Yep.
Really what they did. By the way, Charlie Clark, very, very, very bright guy.
So who will take the... So there's a lot of talk. This is cut 12 on the Senate seats for Marco Rubio, right? And for J.D. Vance. Scott Jennings on CNN has a solution, or has a suggestion, actually.
Oh boy. You're teeing this one up. This is going to be a doozy, I think.
Cut 12, go.
If Marco Rubio does in fact become Secretary of State, we're going to need a new senator from the state of Florida, and we need someone with Rubio's national security credentials. Now, there's one Floridian who can do it. He stood up to the Russians and the Iranians in the 1980s when he defeated the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov, two of America's most lethal foes. He is a real American. He fights for the rights of every man. He knows that courage is the thing that keeps us free. Ladies and gentlemen, I announce Ron DeSantis, get on it. Hulk Hogan for U.S. Senate.
Oh, he's got the Hulkamania shirt.
When Hulkamania runs wild on you, brother.
All right, we got to leave it there, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you for watching.
That went over like a lead balloon in that room.
Yeah, it's hard to joke with people that don't have a sense of humor. Like, I don't think I've ever... I mean, you wonder why CNN's a mess. Like, Abby Phillip, really, that's the best she got. She's lifeless. She makes Anderson Cooper look like the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But interesting, because I think Jennings is probably... And I'm trying not to be a total partisan hack here, but... Boy, I tell you what, he's fearless. He gets in there, he butts heads, and then he tries to, like, and I think people take him on a serious level because he was a part of the Bush administration for GW43. But then he works in a little bit of comedy there. I played him earlier in the Big Take. He's taking swipes at Jimmy Kimmel. He's not just a nuts and bolts politics guy. He'll try to, throw in a jab or two. I like it.
James Carville goes off on DC-based Democrats for pushing identity S-word.
Are we sure this is censored?
I'm hoping.
Okay, because I know you requested that last night.
I did.
It was right at the top.
You should see our show sheets and our cut sheets and stuff. And yeah, of course, Don, I'm talking to you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. but I have. I actually spelled out what words I wanted censored in this video, so I'm hoping.
Sometimes I use red font when I do it in my emails. Sometimes I highlight it in yellow. I might go like font 72 one day just to get a rise out of Phil. Please edit this. Yeah. Times New Roman 72 font.
All right, James Carville going off.
Let's get it there, and let's act like an opposition party. And yeah. An opposition party. We have no power.
By the way, stop. What the hell is there a cat? Is that a baby? What is that?
Tell your great grandson to pipe down. Yeah, he'll get his puffs and his binky.
I actually think that's a cat.
Is that a cat?
I think so.
Well, Carville.
Well,
LSU fan and a cat guy.
Phil, can we start it over, my friend? And go.
Let's get it there, and let's act like an opposition party. An opposition party. We have no power. You understand that? None. None. We have no legislative power. We have no executive power. We have no judicial power.
All right, wait, hang on. Hang on. This is just, I can't.
I think it's a cat.
It is 100% a cat.
He's cat sitting for Keith Olbermann.
He's recording a podcast.
I know.
Just move the cat into another room.
I know.
No, what is...
Put the cat outside.
Why is the cat so upset?
Because the Democrats lost. It's a liberal feline.
Or maybe the cat loves Trump and wants him out.
Is that a MAGA kitty? Is he ill-tempered?
Oh, God. All right.
A very vocal kitty.
It is a very vocal cat. I like cats, but like the ones that are annoying like that. It's like,
yeah. Oh,
God.
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
So when you're out of power, you're an opposition party. And go and tell all of the people that are sending you and asking you for money, justify what you did, justify what you did wrong, and tell us what you're going to do different. Because what you've done ain't worth it. All right?
Yeah.
Get your head around that. And all of the Washington-based Democrats farting around, going to wine and cheese parties, and farting, talking about how misogynistic they are, get your ass out of Washington.
Yeah.
And go work on a 2026 campaign and do penance.
Yeah.
To make up for your damn arrogance and stupidity.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say, well, we're going to say we told you so. We told you this identity was disaster. We told you to get out in front of public safety issues. You didn't. We told you to have an open process and demonstrate the magnificent and staggering and deep talent that exists in the modern Democratic Party. You didn't.
No.
We told you to differentiate yourself from Biden. You didn't. I hate to be some know-it-all, but all of these things are part of the record.
Wow. Man.
Funny how they all abandon identity politics and the woke stuff and all the nonsense after the fact. Well, I knew that this would be our undoing. Well, if everybody seemed to know the undoing was coming for the Democrat Party, why didn't you pivot? Why didn't you change the policy? Why didn't Joe abandon it by year three? Kamala in the final 100 days.
You're 100% right.
Right?
All these people are like, I told you about this. No, you didn't. You should have sounded the alarm 8 months ago.
You know, the thing about it is, I can't even get beyond the cat.
Not me neither.
The truth is, you cannot. So what they did was, they contained the cat someplace.
Yeah.
And the cat is vocal and is complaining.
Yeah.
The cat, much like all of us conservatives, wants freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's going, you losers, you don't even get it.
Get me out of this cage. Yeah.
Freedom!
The Carville cage.
Yeah.
How about that look, by the way? He's got a red undershirt on.
Oh, that's his look, man.
Then the purple shirt.
Yeah.
And then the yellow, green, and purple sweater.
Well, he's an LSU fan, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's the LSU colors.
And he's mad, man. Bama housed them last week.
Yeah.
It was big. Loved it.
Anybody who cages a cat, you know, or any animal like that, that cat is not happy.
Yeah.
Michael Pelka says the cat is running from hungry Haitians. Oh, that's just not right.
Oh,
how dare you?
They're eating the cats.
No, I guarantee you they put it in some kind of a cage or whatever, and the cat is.
But he's doing it. He's doing a podcast. Take the cat somewhere else.
I know. My wife took on election night when I was hosting from the Kale Command Center. The wife took the dog upstairs. I was like, get him out of here. I can't have him yipping and barking.
Right, but you don't want to cage. You're not going to cage your dog, and your dog's like, oh, why are you doing this?
We cage him when we leave for the day.
You do?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Why?
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of having the dog there to bite a burglar.
Yeah, well, they want to come in and take it. Take whatever you want. I don't care.
You cage the dog?
When we go away for like an entire day, if like we're gone for 10 or 12 hours.
10 or 12 hours.
Yeah.
Don't you have somebody who comes in and like walks them or feeds
them? No, I don't have friends. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. No. Most times he's good and most times we don't, but he's had a couple of stretches as he's now approaching 5 years old and still doesn't want to listen at times. There's a few times where he'll get a little combative, and it's not that he'll make a mess in the house, like he won't poop or, you know, do the other business, but he'll occasionally try to jump up into the bread basket, and he pulls off a rack of hot dog rolls or, he's a big carb guy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't feel like coming home and seeing all my hamburger rolls destroyed. Those brioche buns are expensive.
Oh, God. All right, let's break for Bruno.
All right.
Bruno can critique your brioche.
Brioche buns. Bruno needs to. We need to do 20 minutes on your brioche buns.
You can clip it if you'd like. From Carville to Bruno we go. That'll be fun. By the way, I'd love to see a Carville Bruno show together. You imagine those two guys, those veterans chopping it up?
They would be great together.
Oh, cursing up a storm.
Yeah.
All right. We will continue with Tony Bruno on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at DuckDuckGo, because it's very simple these days. The internet, it's not a safe place. And that's the truth. You know, identity theft, stealing your personal information. And look, we're to blame for it, right? We purchase things from different retail outlets, you know, the convenience of online shopping, and then boom, next thing you know, people have your information. Well, DuckDuckGo is here to help with your online privacy and security. And they want to take it to the next level, a subscription-based service. That's why I am so excited to use Privacy Pro, because it's a three-in-one privacy service. First of all, right off the top, secure VPN, anytime, anywhere. Secondly, identity theft restoration. So when you make a mistake, and it's not your fault, and that information gets out there, they will help you restore it. And then, of course, personal information removal. And we're not talking like, you know, Mark Cuban deleting pro-Kamala tweets. We're talking about really serious things that you don't want hackers and scam artists and con artists to have. So take advantage of it today. 3-in-1. It's a 7-day trial offer. Absolutely free. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210. And then after that, you're going to want to remain protected. So all they're asking for is $9.99 per month. Do it today. We're all doing it here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And check it out, duckduckgo.com/1210.
If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sportsbook, as you covered with Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack.
Hump Day.
That's right. Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack. Now, every Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over-unders and even player props. So don't let the weekend, have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack.
Hump Day.
Who knows? It might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Day Parlays Reward Stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHD. 21 and over, present in PA. Often required, max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So much stuff has happened in the last week.
Yes.
This has been the craziest week ever, but the joy is back. By the way, I have two cats and we have a dog that's staying with us. We only crate the dog when we go out and leave her alone, because the dog, you know, goes and scratches the door.
Yeah.
You never cage a cat. Unless, you know, you got a Florida Panther. And by the way, they're a great hockey team. And Miss Robin and I drove across Alligator Alley to go watch Flyers Panthers last Saturday night over there in Sunrise, Florida. What a great game. That was the best sporting event I've seen this year, believe it or not, in person. It was the only sporting event I've seen in person live, other than the Super Bowl. The energy in the building was great. And Meshoff didn't play, and then they bring him back, and the Flyers are playing better. You know, the Eagles obviously are the talk of the entire NFL. Now, Colin Cowherd, who 5 weeks ago said they were a mess, now all of a sudden says they're a great team.
Yep.
So that's the difference between politics and sports, guys.
Yeah.
Sports is a week-to-week gut-wrenching experience, especially in Philly, right? 76ers, they've already been mathematically eliminated. And now they played that. Did you watch any of that game? I turned it on last night.
Oh, the NBA
exploded.
Cup with the blue court.
Oh!
Awful.
Let's make up a sport where there's a make-believe trophy to try to get people close enough to Christmas Day when the NBA season actually starts, right?
Maybe we should bring in Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to clean out the efficiency in the NBA.
Wow. And then you turn on the TV and it looks like they're playing in the bottom of a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
The floor is blue. Everybody's blue.
I thought they were in Dawn's hot tub.
Not blue.
That's amazing.
What was that, a spring dance hot tub?
By the way, the dog comments are getting such a reaction on YouTube. Phil, can you put up a poll question?
Yeah.
Is Nick out of line caging his dog for 10 to 12 hours? I agree with you, Tony. I agree with you. I think Nick is out of line.
I wouldn't have to do it if he was a better dog.
Is Nick caging his dog or his cat?
No, I don't have a cat, Johnny. I'm anti-cat.
Okay. I got two cats. They want, you know, they're free range. They don't go outside, though. They're indoor cats.
Okay.
But the cats do whatever the hell they want. They sleep on the bed. They can do everything. They poop in the litter box. You don't have to take them out for a walk.
Yeah.
They're the easy, and they love you back. Because our cats love us. I mean, they sleep with us, you know, because they're ragdoll. So they're like the puppy cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're like little dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Nick out of line for caging his dog for 10 to 12 hours? Yeah. I'm voting already yes.
I'm voting yes,
too. Yes. It's 100% right now.
Now it's only 2% of the vote in, though.
By the way, Bucks County is still trying to count the votes to see if Bob Casey lost. Can you believe that's happening, Dawn? They're still actually looking for ballots in Bucks County.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing.
By the way, everybody get over to YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Vote on the poll question. Is Nick out of line for caging his dog 10 to 12 hours?
Yes.
It's the best thing we'll do all day today.
You're darn right. And just to clarify, just to defend myself for a split second, it only happens 4 to 6 times a year. Like, if I go up to my sister's for the day in the Lehigh Valley and it's, you know, I don't drive 90 minutes each way to spend 90 minutes up there, you know, I'm just not going to come home to, you know, property being destroyed. I can't tolerate it.
By the way, Nick, Bix writes in, you should do a show from a crate for 4 hours. Let's get a big crate, put Nick in there.
I lived in a crate for 2 years before my family got up here.
By the way,
called a studio.
My sources here, my sources right across Florida over on the East Coast at Mar-a-Lago are reporting that Rich Zeoli is now in line to be the Secretary of Defense, Undersecretary of Defense, and the entire Zeoli army will be drafted to go fight in future wars. That's breaking news just handed me from my sources deep at Mar-a-Lago.
That's amazing.
let me start with this, because you've been in the media for a long time. I mean, you've done it all, dude. You've done radio, you've done TV, you've done news, you've done sports. Where are we at right now? Because MSNBC's ratings have collapsed. CNN is getting ready to just gut everybody that's making a bloated salary. I mean, what is this, just shifting dynamics? Is this Trump? I mean, what exactly do you make of this with where they're at?
I think the media has finally been exposed, and I've been saying this for years. This isn't just a new thing because of an election year. I've been saying the Philadelphia Inquirer is the worst example. I mean, they're still publishing stuff that is laughable. I mean, they may as well just shut that thing down now. Seriously, they're trying to sell subscriptions $1 for 6 months of coverage. What does that tell you? You can't even pay for Will Bunch's lunch for that. So the bottom line is the media has basically destroyed themselves. That we people saw through the media. We know politicians all lie. We know people, you know, the people who are running for office are going to promise you everything. That's the way it's always been. But the media in this country this year is DOA. I mean, you talk about MSNBC. They're still crying. You know, they're still crying, yet they're all going to lose their jobs. And I don't like seeing people lose their jobs. And the Doge people, by the way, you know, I said when I was doing morning talk at WCAU back in the 1990s, I would have government waste people on all the time, not Trump in a trash truck. People talking about how much money our government spends on things that are just, you know, it should be $5 and they're $150.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of government waste that people are now reporting. Why is my phone going crazy? Anyway, the government this is going to be the biggest thing ever. And I know they're going to go crazy. Oh, Elon Musk works for the government. He's got SpaceX. This is going to be an independent thing. And Musk actually said he will post it transparently on all of the things we see. And it's so easy to find. You don't need to be a rocket scientist like Elon Musk is to point out where the government is wasting money. And I'm telling you, you work for the government, you better get your resumes ready. I hear they're hiring. You don't go to MSNBC or CNN. And by the way, speaking of CNN, Scott Jennings has single-handedly saved CNN. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Because MSNBC steadfastly stuck to their just left-wing propagandist, all going crazy, and their audience basically cratered. CNN brought this Scott Jennings guy in, and he's been the only reason to watch. The guy is funny. He's glib. He's smart. And he doesn't take any crap. And then I told you earlier that the woman at night, whose show he goes on,
yeah,
she's got no. Well, she's a Washington Post reporter mm-hmm. who got a TV show at night.
Yep.
So she's milk toast. She's just, you know, she's just there.
Traffic cop.
She's a DEA cop.
Oh, you cut out, Tony. I'm sorry.
No, good.
Okay.
Pravda, you're right. Pravda is more trusted than the Inquirer and the Philadelphia Daily News.
You mentioned Elon and Vivek and, the Department of Government Efficiency, but there's been a big Florida flavor to Trump's moves so far. Marco Rubio, Waltz, and not Tim Waltz, by the way, and Rick Scott presumably is the favorite to be the Senate Majority Leader. When you look at all of these other moves, you know, you got Pete Hegseth. He's coming from television, but he's a combat veteran, Ivy League educated, Princeton and Harvard. I'm down on the Ivy Leagues these days, but still smart dude and a military guy. It seems like Trump has really kind of, I don't love every move. I'm not saying I like Rubio. I don't really know about Kristi Noem in the role that she's been given. But for the most part, it seems like these have been moves that the Trump fan base out there almost universally likes.
And the thing about Pete Hegseth, the fact that the media and even Elizabeth Warren calling him a Fox News weekend host is an insult. You know, your Secretary of Defense doesn't have to be a guy who wears a full face shield and disappears for a couple of weeks while there's wars going on. It's got to be somebody who can stand up and speak out on behalf. Now all these left wing sites, Aaron Rupar, who still somehow has a job, making fun of the fact that Hegseth just last week was saying that he doesn't think we should have women in combat roles in the military. And now all of a sudden that makes him a bad guy. Who wants, you know, I'm not saying there shouldn't be women in the military. They should be. But to say that you're going to put them on the front lines, that's what a guy who's been on the front line says. So if that's going to make him, I mean, he's going to be the defense secretary, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. The guy is smart. He's got two bronze stars. And then Elizabeth Warren, of all people.
She's big mad. Yep.
A fake Indian who got into Harvard and got paid money for lying. She's got the gonads. Well, she does. I don't know if she has gonads. She doesn't have anything. Massachusetts, by the way, is now officially the dumbest state in America. I thought it was California between Liz Warren, the stupid governor, and the stupid mayor of Boston. They right now, to me, are at the top of the list of dumbest government officials in the entire country. You know, you have Gavin Newsom out there in California. I mean, he's atop the leader. He's on the Mount Rushmore of bad politicians. But Massachusetts, you give me a state that is more inept and has hired more and has elected more dumb people than the state of Massachusetts. Name one.
Yeah, it's amazing the backlash to the Hegseth hire. Because, I mean, this is, to me, and I'll make a sports analogy, and that'll actually take us to the next topic, with that being Michael Strahan. That would be like the Giants hiring Michael Strahan. And somebody that disagrees with it is like, you're hiring a guy from Fox NFL Sunday on television? Yes. But he played the game. He was a great football player, which I think qualifies you to coach football. Pete Hegseth, yes, was on TV, but he's a combat veteran. He's been on the front lines. He knows what that entails and what that's like. So I don't understand the outrage other than the fact that it's entry level, which gets me to Strahan. Your thoughts on the way people are, in my opinion, in overreaction for not putting his hand on his heart during the national anthem. What's your take?
Well, I mean, listen, I didn't go crazy. First of all, I don't watch the pregame shows.
Right.
I turn the TV on right before kickoff when Scott Hansen comes on and says, 7 hours of uninterrupted football starts right now.
Yep.
That's when I turn on the TV at 1 o'clock, because I pay a lot for YouTube TV and the NFL Red Zone. We don't have to do that because the Eagles are on Prime Video, unless you don't have Prime Video. But I guess they'll show it locally, right?
Yep.
If you don't have Prime, that game will be on Channel 6,
I presume. Tomorrow night, yep.
Right, and locally in Philly. So to me, you know, I don't pay attention to that stuff. Now, I saw the clip of it. Did I go crazy? I know Michael Strahan. I work with him at Fox. Michael Strahan was a great player. He does a great job on Fox, and then he goes, and now he's got a morning show, just like Nate Burleson.
Yep.
Nate Burleson was a football player, and now he's doing everything. He's on the CBS morning show. He does CBS NFL. So these guys are sharp guys who do a great job, and they move up the food chain. I don't have a problem personally with Michael Strahan. He's a great guy. But the guy confronting him, he should have addressed it. Because, you know, if you're on Good Morning America, you have to address that and say, I'm sure they didn't ask him, right? Yep. On Monday morning, did they ask him?
No, and to your point, at least Jason Kelsey addressed him smashing the cell phone on the Monday Night Countdown show after he blasted that guy at Penn State.
That's because ESPN said to him, hey, Jason, you got to get ahead of this thing. Go on at the beginning of Monday Night Football. Everybody's watching. Just say, hey, you know what? I lost my cool. But most people agree Jason Kelsey was in the right because you can't have some strapper come up to you. Strapper again, word that has not been used. Yep. I believe Donald Trump should put strapper back in the lexicon of everyday usages.
As it I was saying. Offensive.
Yes. It's not, you know, strapper's a word that's not really offensive. Mm-hmm. It's not profane. It's not offensive.
But it makes
the
point. It's
just something we can use.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a good word.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think strapper. If I were Department of Doge, I would make sure strapper gets into the everyday lexicon of everyday sports talk, news talk, fact, traffic, weather talk, dawn talk, wherever you're talking.
Dawn talk. I like it.
Well, dawn coming up, 10 to noon, right?
Yeah, damn right.
30 hours.
30 hours.
Is there anybody else at the radio station that works 30 hours a week on air?
No.
I mean, I go both ways.
Nope. Just Dawn. The MVP, the backbone of the organization.
By the way, Dawn, we have a YouTube poll up. Is Nick out of line for caging his dog for 10 to 12 hours?
Yep.
I'm gonna say 88% yes.
74% say yes, 26% say no. A lot of voting. YouTube.com.
You and Kristen can drop the dog off at my house.
I'm fine. Don't cage the dog.
Phil, James, mark the tape. Mark the tape, because I'm taking a summer vacation this year. Mark the tape.
You're killing me.
Beth says you're a horrible dog owner, full stop. Just a few times a year.
I think we have to close the polls right now. I think the people have spoken in a landslide on the 1210 WPHT Kale and Company Morning Show poll. We are closing the polls. No late ballots. We're not going to file votes later on in the coffee room.
Fox News has called it.
Christy Noem is going to hire you as her assistant.
That's right. Even Christy Noem is looking at you, Nick Callen, saying, how dare you?
I agree. I'm a bad person.
By the way, no doubt. Crate Train. Can't you crate train?
We've tried. We've done it all. He's a wild man. He's a free spirit. He's just, you know.
You're a bad doggy daddy.
Still counting the Bucks County has now added the dog poll to try to get Bob Casey over the finish line. When is Bob Casey going to concede?
Yeah, Dawn. What happens when is he first? Going to concede? Bob Dawn? Casey concedes, or I crate train my dog.
You should put Bob Casey in the crate.
I agree.
Dog.
Put him in the bathroom. Leave him there.
Put him in the bathroom and leave him in there.
Dawn, do we have any updates on Bob Casey, or is he still sifting through the papers?
Nope.
He's fighting a good fight.
He's not conceding. I keep searching.
Josh Shapiro say to the guy, hey, Bob, I'm going to be the nominee. The Democrats are going to put me up in 2028 because I wanted nothing to do with Kamala and be her vice presidential pick.
Mm-hmm.
It was a smart move. Why are you doing this to me now? Just concede and stop looking like an election denier. When, you know, there were the party that called anybody who questioned 2020 election deniers. Bob Casey's an election denier, is he not?
Yeah. He is at this point, yeah. So yes, he is.
Mike on the YouTube chat is blaming me. He says Nick needs a raise so he can afford a dog walker.
I'm not going to object to anything that he just said.
So now it's my fault, Dawn.
Copy and paste that one as well, Phil.
We should continue this conversation.
We should. Tony Bruno's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour, which will be brought to you by Because of
Luck. Salute to service. Weather today.
I like that.
Eagles.
By the way,
John Fetterman.
Yeah.
Eagles.
What number is that? What number is that? That's not Kevin Cobb, is it?
No, that's it. That's Antonio Brown. Actually, it was a Carson Wentz, but now A.J. Brown has
A.J. Brown, yeah.
A.J. Brown. So I just take the Wentz off the back and put Brown on there, and it's still good as new.
Eagles.
It's amazing.
I'll take Antonio Brown as well if we can get him.
Well, maybe Antonio Brown, I mean.
He might be in the Trump administration at this point. Who knows?
He's going to be the interior secretary for when he videotapes some of his dalliances.
Antonio Brown has been tabbed the Trump social media coordinator for the next 4 years. All right, Kale and Company. Bruno sticks around for the 9 o'clock hour. I want to get Tony's thoughts on marriages and politics. Oh, we'll talk to Tony about that, as well as the Nick Bosa sack dance, the NFL fining him for the MAGA hat, as well as some Eagles and some Phillies on the other side. It's Kale and Company.
Sack dance?
Yeah, remember the he was doing the sack dance.
I didn't know it was a sack dance.
It's apparently a sack dance.
Don't have you ever done a sack dance?
Don, have you ever done the YMCA dance like Trump? You and Larry late at night dancing like that?
Oh, yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
You can do that in Italy.
Yeah, we can do it in Italy style, the Italian Riviera. You got to come away with me to paradise once again on a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours, the best tour operator in Italy, hands down, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, 5378, yes, that includes your airfare, dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Just call toll-free, 888-733-9494. You can also go to conservativetours.com. Scroll down. You'll see the full itinerary, some pictures on conservativetours.com. You'll see the hidden Italian villages that you've never seen in person before, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. And we will conclude this incredible tour on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre, conservativetours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.